The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, made a major policy change this morning, saying that the Fed would keep interest rates lower for longer and worry less about inflation. The stock market responded well, at least initially. NPR chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley joins us now. And Scott, tell us more about what Powell said and what it tells you that the Fed is making this policy change right now.
Jeremy, for decades, the Fed has been a very alert watchdog when it comes to inflation. Stable prices are, of course, part of the central bank's mandate, and it takes that job so seriously. Whenever unemployment would get too low, quote unquote, the Fed would preemptively raise interest rates to keep prices from spiraling out of control. This is famously referred to as taking away the punch bowl just when the party's getting started. What the Fed did in effect today was say the punch bowl can stay. You know, we've now had years of very low unemployment that didn't spark inflation. In fact, it was really good for people who'd been on the margins of the workforce. So the Fed says it's prepared to let the economy run hotter, longer, and will tolerate somewhat higher prices to get the benefit of that strong job market. As for timing, it's a little odd because, of course, right now we're very far away from full employment. But this was a policy that was largely crafted before the pandemic hit. It tells us not so much about what the Fed's going to do now, but what they might do in the future once the economy's in better shape.
Well, you say we're very far away from full employment. We just got word this morning from the Labor Department that about a million people, more people, filed new unemployment claims last week, which is down a little bit from the previous week, but still very high historically. The job market is still in a lot of trouble, isn't it?
It is. I mean, more than a million people applied for state unemployment. Another 600,000 applied for the special federal benefit for gig workers and the self-employed, who usually aren't eligible for unemployment benefits. At last count, we had more than 27 million Americans who are collecting some kind of unemployment benefits. And that number has stayed stubbornly high week after week. Of course, an important lifeline for the unemployed, the extra $600 a week they were collecting, that ran out at the end of July. And you know, the president's offer to use FEMA money to make up half of that benefit for a few weeks, but any kind of more lasting relief is going to have to come from Congress.
So what if things get a lot worse in the next few months? Is there much more the Fed can do than it is already doing? They're already buying all these bonds, trillions of dollars in corporate bonds and government bonds and keeping interest rates very low. What can they do if things get worse?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot more in the Fed's toolkit here. It's really going to be up to other parts of the government to provide more relief as this recession drags on. The Fed is making some loans to state and local governments, which are hurting because their tax revenues have dried up. But the Fed can only lend money, and it only Congress can make grants, and that's really what's needed here.
We mentioned the stock market liked what happened this morning. It is near record highs. It is back where it was before the pandemic, and a lot of investors are getting richer. We just found out today that the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, net worth just surpassed $200 billion. What does that tell you, Scott?
Well, Amazon, you know, is worth more money. It's not an illusion. They've obviously gained market share as people are doing more shopping from home. Other tech companies have also profited as the pandemic has gone on, and we've all adjusted our lifestyle. But the gains in the stock market are very concentrated. Yesterday, when the S&P 500 hit a high, most of the 500 stocks were down. It's really just a handful of tech stocks that are driving this stock market boom.
That is NPR chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley. Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.